huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge. This is a plea to the new UK Prime Minister. We've had times of great division and unrest. There is anger. There is extreme political divide. And the economic prospects of our nation are possibly as bad as they've been since the Second World War. We have possibly the biggest recession in history coming. We have a situation where our new prime minister is announced, but it's not a democracy because the people weren't able to vote because of the system. And now that we have a chance to change things, I'd like to share seven things I think this country could do better and different. I want to thank all the people on all my lives that say Rob for PM. I want to let you know I will never run for PM. And I know you should never say never. But look, you know, I have my biases. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. And I'm, of course, naturally going to be biased towards economic growth and protecting the small businesses, of which there are about 6 million in the UK. But to be fair, it is the small business, the entrepreneur, that fuels most of the economy, pays most of the public sector. So, you know, yes, I'm biased, but the facts are there. The first thing I think we need to do immediately is to sort out the energy crisis. Now, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of people that watch my lives, you know, I get thousands of comments a day if you look on my Facebook lives. And a lot of people think that maybe the big energy companies are making big donations or they've got some kind of financial control over the government. I can't speak about that because I don't know. However, what I can say is that it is an outrage that the big energy companies, because by the way, the smaller ones are really struggling, typical. You know, the working class, the small companies, they're the ones that struggle and they're the ones that fuel most of the economy. Why do they get ignored by the government? Now, I've talked to people in politics who've got their own theories about the elitism towards the small business owner and the entrepreneur. But again, that's not my own evidence. Though I don't understand why the big energy companies, they can make record billions and pay a very small amount of tax and have no windfall tax. Surely the energy cap is there to protect the people, is it not? So first things first is, surely there has to be a protection of the energy cap and a realistic fair energy cap. And there needs to be a windfall tax from the big energy companies to redistribute it to the people. I'm not a fan of windfall taxes and I'm not a fan of overly taxing companies because they bring jobs and they bring revenues and they bring investment. But right now you've got the employed, the working class, the small business owner, the entrepreneur getting overtaxed, and you've got the big corporation getting undertaxed. So the first thing is we need to sort the gas and energy crisis. We need to get the caps reduced. We need to sort out these issues with the big energy firms making record billions and redistribute and intervene. Because, you know, I'm more of a fan of governments not intervening, but I believe in recent times they've over-intervened with taxation, they over-intervened with lockdowns, yet they're under-intervening with controlling the energy cap and they're under-intervening with taxing these massive corporations. So I think a windfall tax is important and I think some independence in government power and not be so controlled by these big corporations, or so it seems. The second thing I think that's absolutely vital is that incentives are created to start businesses, to innovate, to build, to produce, to disrupt. And anything that can fuel growth in the economy needs to be incentivized, subsidized, or supported. And right now, small businesses are not incentivized, subsidized, or supported. There's really no grants. There's just massive penal taxes, which are almost as high as they were in the late 70s. So it's bonkers that the economy needs to grow, the small business owner and the entrepreneur and the general worker, the employee, these are the people that fuel most of the economy and pay most of the public sector. Yet they're getting penalized and overtaxed. And yet these massive corporations are getting undertaxed and there's too many people in government. So incentives, subsidies, grants for production, innovation and hiring is my second suggestion on what needs to happen for the new leadership. The third thing is I believe we've got to reform the NHS completely. I think it's just broken. It's like all very well having a local grocery shop, but if it's never open, it doesn't count for being a grocery shop. And right now we have an NHS that you can't get in and it doesn't work. And so whether that's privatization or an insurance-based model, but it's broken and it needs immediate addressing. And by the way, it's draining hundreds of billions in revenue. So it's like a bucket with a big hole in the bottom. Yet we're still pouring water into it when there's a drought. Okay, the fourth thing I think we need to do is we need to get better financial education in grassroots in schools. Why is it in school you're not taught about how the money system works, how to make, manage and master money, manage your emotions around money, understand about debt, good debt versus bad debt, understand how to be productive and, you know, economics, not in the textbook sense, but in the real world sense. Most of this stuff to be an entrepreneur, to create, to produce and proper education around money is not taught in schools. And I've got all sorts of people on my lives who have their conspiracy theories about that. They may be right, they may be wrong. But surely we've got a chance now with new leadership to get better education in grassroots at school. Because surely it's our future, the people of tomorrow that are going to help our nation not just survive, but thrive. The next thing I think we need to do is we need to reduce the size of the government. You know, I've interviewed billionaires and people who are very knowledgeable politically, and they believe that the private sector has got too much of a financial drain on it by the public sector. You know, there's too many people in government. The tax code is thousands of pages. Imagine if they just said flat 20% tax. You'd need a one-page document. All right, you'd need a bit more, but you know what I mean. But it's so complicated and convoluted and bloated. So we need less people working in government, pushing paper around, and more people fueling up the economy, being incentivized and encouraged to start a business and to produce and to build. The next thing is we need to get more people to work. And this is probably unpopular, and I'm prepared to say what's unpopular. But I believe the benefit system is too attractive for people. I've even spoken to people on the streets who've said there's no point going back to work because they can get the same amount of money on benefits. And I'm not just saying we cut the money, but we need to educate, inspire, help and support the people who aren't working and get them to work. Because by the way, if there'd been a third world war, everyone would just be working. We'd all be builders and trades and we'd be building roads and schools and hospitals. There wouldn't be billions in benefits being paid out. We'd all just be working. Now, I understand that there are some people who have genuine health issues and genuine disabilities. I get that and they should be helped. But, you know, there's always systems that are gamed. And I think that this is really important to get more people to work. There is an attitude of entitlement, or there is a fear-based attitude of, I want to work from home, or I want to do less, or and people's mindsets have been affected. And to a certain degree, that's been caused by pandemics and lockdowns and things like that. It's not just all blame, but it's also cultural and societal. And like I said, after a war, there wouldn't be people saying, oh, I just need to work less. I need like work-life balance. I need to work from home. I need to do 3 days a week, get paid 6 days for 3 days, blah, 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 blah. You know, we'd all be working. We'd all be building. We'd be inspired and collective to rebuild our nation. And that's the attitude we need right now. But we haven't got it, but it's got to start from the top. So I believe we need to get more people to work. And I'm not just saying kick them out and no payments anymore. I'm saying educate, support. And make it appealing for them to work. Pay them well. The next thing, and I never thought I'd say this, but we need to increase taxes on big corporations so we can reduce taxes on employed people and small business owners. Really, really important. So why can these big corporations pay virtually no corp tax? By the way, I'm not a hater of big corporations. I think they bring investment, employment. They build infrastructure. But it is wrong, isn't it, that they can pay virtually no corp tax, even though they pay lots of other types of taxes, but virtually no corp tax, when corp tax could go up to 25% from 19% for the small business owner and the entrepreneur. It's just unfair. So if we tax the big corps more fairly, not overly, you will still want them in your country. You want investment. We don't want to create an enemy of them. But we want to increase the taxes fairly. Like BP apparently made $6.4 billion, but paid $127 million in tax. By my maths, that's just over 3%. It's not enough. It's wrong. It's very wrong. Whereas the corp tax for small business owners in the UK is proposed to go up to 25%. When income tax is 38%, when you've got national insurance and VAT and pension contributions and all this stuff, it's outrageous. It's completely outrageous. And there needs to be a rebalance. We need to support small business owners more. We need to support anyone who does something positive for the economy. The more a company or an individual does for a company, the economy, the country, the more they should get rewards, incentives, tax breaks back. We need to align selfish interest with national interest. And generally that is, if I can make more money or save more money, then I will do it. So what the government do is they don't know how to incentivize people. What the government do is go, oh, you're a successful entrepreneur. We'll take all your money off you in tax. Oh, we've got into debt, but we will take your money. And this is what needs to change. Whereas if they allowed me to get an increased reward financially for the more people I hire, and they gave me a subsidy, for example, let's say they paid all recruitment fees. It's just an example. Then I would go out and hire more people. I know I would. Or if they gave me a tax break on the new staff that I hire, I would hire more people. But they don't. They just want to put all the liability on us because the current government do not know how to fuel an economy. They think the way to generate money for themselves is tax. It's only one way. Surely a better way for the government to increase their own revenue is to increase the overall economy because the rising of the tide lifts all ships and increase the volume in tax they get, not the percentage of taxes that they charge. Surely that's much better because, you know, the economy is trillions. So if they increase incentives and remove friction and increase speed, they could generate hundreds of billions more in tax just by us generating more revenue, and we could have a proper trickle-down effect. But we haven't got that. So I'd love your thoughts, by the way. Let me just do a quick summary. This is a plea to the new UK Prime Minister to please sort our country out and be strong and vigilant and make some unpopular decisions in the short term. You're going to have to piss off a lot of people. Be strong and accept it. And I believe, number one, sort the energy crisis out immediately. Transfer some of the profits in windfall taxes, etc., from the massive corporations to the people and get it under control. Number two, create incentive subsidies and grants for hiring, production, for fueling the economy, for building enterprise and for starting businesses, being entrepreneurial. The next thing is we've got to privatise or insurance-ize. We've got to change the model of the NHS. It's broken, whether it's an insurance model or a privatisation model or any other improvement model, because it's all very well having the NHS, but if you can't get in, it doesn't work, and everyone's essentially got to pay for private medical care unless they're nearly dying anyway, because the NHS is broken, and yet it's still draining hundreds of billions. Next thing is we've got to get better financial education in grassroots at schools. I think that's absolutely vital. From the ground up, let's change our nation. We must reduce the size of the government, reduce the complexities of the tax codes and the, you know, all the policies. It's just insanely bloated and consumes so much money. Get more people to work, incentivize, educate, inspire and support the people who aren't at work to get back to work and make it more worthwhile for them to get back to work. Let's all be in this together, and more tax on the huge corps and a bit less tax on the employed and the small businesses. And then maybe we can fire up the economy again, and then maybe we can make this nation great again. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything.